For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website. Good morning, Bodhisattvas. I want to talk. Oh, I'm Aishan Nancy Easton, for those who I have not met. And I wanted to talk today about the practice of patience. Patience is something that we don't generally have enough of, but we could all practice. And it's one of the paramitas, Kshanti paramita. And paramitas are, in Mahayana Buddhism, they are the transcendent practices of bodhisattvas. They are sort of the practicing of some of the perfection of Buddha's mind. And they work together. So I'll talk in a little bit about other ways that we use paramitas. But one of the central practices or paramitas to our practice of zazen is patience. I know that many of us here are here as part of the all-day sitting, and there are quite a few people today who are attending an all-day sitting for their first time or for their first time at Ancient Dragon. And, you know, at this point, you may be asking yourself, why did I sign up for this? You know, my back hurts. I'm plagued by thoughts. I like zazen, but maybe not this much. You know, I'm just not sure that I'm cut out for this. You know, maybe this is really for those hardcore people who just love zazen. And I want to reassure you that this practice is for you. Maybe these are not the exact thoughts that you're having or questions that you're having, but those are the questions that I entertained at my first all-day sitting. And I want to just say that today really is an opportunity for you to practice patience, and it's actually an opportunity for us all to practice patience with each other and with ourselves. As I maybe mentioned earlier, many of us are also taking on a job or a responsibility today for the first time or very close to the first time. And so it's such a vulnerable feeling, you know, where we're all kind of wondering, you know, am I doing it right? Am I making a mistake? That we can really use some of this patience with ourselves and patience with helping each other. I think many of you know that Taigen is on sabbatical, and so it's early on in Taigen's sabbatical, and it's been an opportunity for many people to step up and take on a position or a responsibility that is unfamiliar to us. And so it allows us the opportunity to really be kind to ourselves and to each other. And I think it's, you know, it's actually nice to maybe for all of us to see each other struggle a little bit and maybe make some mistakes, and to recognize that within that person making mistakes and struggling and trying to figure out how to do this really is all of us. You know, there aren't any, you know, perfect people. There are people who maybe have more experience doing something, but nobody's perfect, you know? And so I think that patience is so much a part of that. It's hard for me to say exactly what patience is, and I'll get into that in a minute, but I think it involves the ability to slow down, to pay attention, which paying attention is I think, sometimes easiest to do when we're doing something that we're not very familiar with, because we have to pay attention to be able to do it. But patience, it allows us to you know, slow down, pay attention, to wait, to maybe recognize that, you know, not everything is amenable to our active efforts. We don't have so much control over many, many things, more things than we realize, especially when we're sitting zazen. You know, we come and we sit, and we don't have control over our thoughts. We don't have control over, you know, our feelings or sometimes our posture. And I think taking an attitude of patience allows us to sit here long enough so that zazen can help us practice zazen, actually. So we're really kind of cooperating with zazen to practice. Because it is the beginning of spring, I was thinking about a poem from the haiku master Matsuo Basho, who was from the 17th century in Japan. And one of his famous quotes or from a haiku is, "Sitting quietly, doing nothing, spring comes and the grass grows by itself." So I'll just repeat that. Sitting quietly, doing nothing, spring comes and the grass grows by itself. And I think this has a lot to do with patience. I mean, the sitting quietly and doing nothing, for sure, I think involves some patience, but also in allowing things to happen. You know, the grass is growing by itself. We can see that patience is really needed for this process. You know, we cannot grow the grass. We can cultivate conditions for that might be more conducive to grass growing, but even then, we can only do so much. You know, there are myriad causes and conditions that have to arise at just the right time in order for grass to appear and to grow. And we can only do so much with that. You know, we can't make it warm up, and we can't make the rain fall, but you know, we can garden. And so we can do some things that will help to cultivate the causes and conditions that might lead to our desired outcome. And within that, we have to have some patience with the process, you know, with what we can do, but then with stepping back and saying, okay, you know, perhaps even though I don't see it, something is happening here. You know, deep below the earth, things are warming up. Life is kind of arising, and I don't see it until I see the grass. But how do I trust that that's there? And I think that that's very true for our practice on our cushions too. We think that we are, you know, it can feel very counterintuitive. We feel like, you know, I'm not doing anything. I should be, you know, taking charge or something. But I want, as part of my talk, I want to pose a few questions. And the first two are, how do we practice with this? How do we recognize that maybe we are actually doing enough by practicing patience? Maybe it doesn't seem like a lot because it's very subtle, but actually it is a lot. How do we allow things to just be and maybe work themselves out? And then another related question is, how can we tell when patience is appropriate or when a specific action would be better, would be more conducive to creating a particular outcome? And I think patience is key there too. As we sit and reflect and just out and out wait, we might be able to get a sense of, you know, something arising. So, you know, in the example above, when we are sitting quietly doing nothing, you know, perhaps that we can perceive that the roots of the grass have actually been here all along, but in a different form. There are some kinds of plants that require winter in order to bloom, or that, you know, some things that require, you know, like a forest fire in order to bloom. And the roots of them are there, but perhaps they're in a different form. How can we slow down enough to see that maybe the roots of what we are trying to cultivate in our life is actually there all along, but is changing, but sometimes very, very slowly? You may find that if you've been practicing for a while, that your practice feels maybe a little bit different now than it did in the beginning. And it's hard to say, you know, exactly what changed or exactly what's changing now, but things are happening on their own, even within ourselves on our cushion. And so how do we, I think patience can really involve just slowing down and observing, and maybe, you know, through our patience we can see an opening somewhere or an opportunity to act in our lives. I think that it's important to think about patience as not just passivity. You know, it's not just waiting, it's not just being passive. It's actually a dynamic process that involves observing and letting go of what we observe and trying to bring some kindness or compassion to ourselves, to bring some kindness and compassion to the process, but also to bring some compassion to ourselves as we, you know, sit there with feelings of impatience, you know, and just try to work with that. But I think it's also true that patience can be most useful when it's not overused. It is not a strategy to apply in every situation. I think Pema Chodron has that term that I just love, you know, idiot patience or idiot compassion. And what she means by that is wonderful qualities of patience or compassion that are being misapplied or misused in situations where perhaps harm is being done to ourselves or to others or to the environment, and we feel like, okay, I should, you know, we remember something about patience and we think, oh, well, I should be patient with this, but really maybe that's not the thing to do in this situation. Maybe the thing to do is actually to take some action. And so we really need to be dynamically awake with and aware with our patients to see, you know, what is this situation telling me about what needs to be done? How do I appropriately take action to maybe stop some harm that is being done to myself or to someone else or to our environment? So in this way, you know, I think I said earlier, patience is one of about 10 paramitas. It's not the only game in town. You know, we can maybe combine our patience with other paramitas like virya paramita, which is effort, taking some action, putting some effort into something, or upaya, which is the paramita of skillful means, taking a skillful action. I think we often need patience to help us to recognize what a skillful action would be and when would be an appropriate time to act. We can temper our patience with knowledge, or we can more temper our effort and our skillful means with knowledge of particular situations, or wisdom, prajna, paramita, to help us have the wisdom to know, you know, what would be skillful, what would be, when do I act, when do I wait? This is a really, it's a dynamic dance that we're doing with ourselves this whole time that we're sitting on our cushion. You know, should I stay or should I go? Should I sit here or should I, you know, get up and do something? So we've got patience going on about our own thought processes. But in addition, patience can also allow us to be impacted by myriad things outside of ourselves, because it allows us to slow down, you know, and wait and observe. We can start to notice things. In Dogen's teaching poem, Genjo Koan, there's a line that perhaps many people will remember, which is, to carry the self forward and experience myriad things is delusion. That the myriad things come forth and experience themselves is awakening. So when we are kind of muscling our way through a lot of things, even muscling our way through zazen, that's carrying ourselves forward when we're not informed by everything around us. That the myriad things come forth and experience themselves is awakening. That we are able to step back and see maybe the bigger picture and how, where we are in that bigger picture, what amount of agency we have in that bigger picture, and that each of the elements in that bigger picture is actually a subject. You know, it's not just us doing something to some object, or even us treating ourselves as some object that we need to do something to. It's all of these things are arising together. So that pain in your knee, and you know, that feeling in your heart, and the situation that you're in here in zazen, there are infinite opportunities if we can slow down and pay attention to discern, you know, what's the best course of action. So I think the last question that I want to entertain is, can we slow down enough to see the ways in which we are co-creating situations and conditions? So we are cooperatively creating all kinds of situations, especially within our relationships with others and within our relationships with ourselves. When we're able to sit down and just quiet our minds enough and relax enough, because I think it does take some relaxation, which comes from our ability to be kind with ourselves. It's not just, you know, sit down and shut up. It's also allow processes to happen within ourselves. We can maybe recognize something that, you know, oh, I didn't realize that was happening. I thought, if you've ever had this experience where you're sitting and you think that things are one way, and then over time you kind of realize, like, oh, you know, I thought this was happening, but really it's more like this. It's a much different picture, or sometimes a larger picture than what I realized. And, you know, that kind of, just shifting of our paradigm can really help us to reflect on how to act more skillfully. So, you know, as bodhisattvas, or beings who are trying to, you know, bring some wisdom and awakening to the world, and especially to ourselves, because I don't think we can bring any to the world if we haven't brought some to ourselves. How do we exercise this ability to be patient and wait and relax and see, you know, what can we do, what can't we do? I think maybe that's enough to say. And perhaps we can have a brief discussion about patience, about paramitas, about bodhisattvas, about zazen, about really anything that anyone would like to discuss. We will have time for those who are staying for the all-day sitting. There will be another opportunity during our tea break to maybe talk about some of these things as they've had time to sort of, you know, sit and ferment. But maybe we could talk right now about anything that's on anybody's mind. So thank you. Gyoshin.
As needed. In fact, as needed is the title of the movie, and the boy said, what does it mean in a recipe if it says as needed? He said, that is the key to being a great chef. You taste it and you see how much of these things, and you add it as needed. And I feel like that's the same with the paramitas, that sometimes you need a little more patience, sometimes you need a little more effort.
Yeah. And I think the only way we can... Wow. Well, thank you. I think, too, the only way we can know what is needed is sometimes by trying and seeing if that was right or if it was a mistake, you know? So, but Dogen also says, you know, life is just mistake after mistake after mistake. And while that's true, it's not something to just dismiss. You know, we do have to try things, and we have to sometimes really just be kind to us and say, hey, yeah, you know what, there's too much salt in the soup. But maybe next time we'll know, okay, maybe taste it before I pour in all the salt. But it's a very dynamic process that we can't force ourselves into. Our bodies and our minds, even while we're sitting zazen, are telling us a little bit about what we should be doing in this moment. I think Suzuki Roshi uses the metaphor of a cow in a field, and he said, you know, let your cow, for a metaphor for what's happening in our minds in zazen, and what he says is, you know, just, you got a field, you got a fence around the field, let the cow just wander around the field and see where it goes, and then just observe what that is. You know, as our cow can go anywhere it wants to in the field, and as long as it doesn't jump the fence, it's probably going to be okay. And if it does jump the fence, maybe we can, you know, gently go out there and lead the cow back and say, hey, you know, how about if you stay in here for right now? I'll have to check out that movie. Other things that are on anybody's mind? Tom.
Thank you for the talk. Forgive my ignorance, but patience and kindness are so close, but they're also different. Is kindness also a paramita?
Not exactly. Like, we have generosity, we have discipline, we have, you know, an ethical conduct, we have patience, we have effort, we have skillful means, we have powers and knowledge and wisdom. And I'm missing one, and I can't remember what it is, but... Vow, thank you. But I remember feeling kind of baffled by that too, that why are kindness and compassion not paramitas? And I think it has to do with maybe, but this is how I've explained it to myself, that we need actually all of these qualities to come together for compassion, or that compassion can take lots, and kindness can take lots of different forms. You know, there's the kindness that's found in patience, and there's the kindness that's found in generosity, and there's the kindness that's found in effort. But I've been entertaining that question for a long time, too. Thank you. Brian.
When you used the word patience, the first thing that came to mind for me was being a patient. And it really hit me when I was caring for someone who was a patient for a long time. That's what's asked of us. It's not like you are a patient, it is the more patience as you're healing, you know, and suffering. And when I think back on my own practice of patience during that time, a year or two ago, of caring for that to someone, I realized that I think sometimes I've thought of patience as a state to which I get, and I'm calm there, and there's this sense of, well, I'm just going to rest now. I've decided to just rest and be patient. And in fact, it really was more like deciding to stay when you really want to run out of the room. And same thing as Aslan, you know, it's like deciding to stay even though it's hard and anxious, or even your head feels like it's on fire. And there are times to act or get out of the room, of course, but patience maybe sometimes is, for me, as a practice of just remaining when it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And giving yourself a pass for all the feelings and the thoughts and impulses that go through your head about all the other things that maybe you wish you could do. But I agree. I think patience is something that we apply when we can't think of any other possible thing that we can do, or we think that this is really the wisest course of action. It's not always comfortable. It's not always calm. And I think a lot of patience has to do with dealing with our feelings of impatience and just, you know, observing those and sitting with them. I used to think that, you know, in the absolute, you know, there's nothing to be impatient with in the broadest sense of the word. There's nothing to be impatient with, you know. But I think that's really only true in the absolute way, that whatever is happening for sure. But we're, you know, at least four-dimensional beings, and we have our feelings about things, and we have our beliefs about what is happening or isn't happening or should be happening. And patience involves sitting with all of that, especially when we're caring for a loved one who's suffering, who we would do, you know, anything to help change that situation. And sometimes we have to recognize, you know, what we can do, how we can help that person's suffering, and where our limits are. We can't help someone, we can't make someone heal, but we can help them heal. Did you find that through that you became more patient with other things in your life?
You know, sometimes it was just a kind of a surrender. You know, like I could.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't do anything, and I'm not going to run out of the room, and it doesn't feel good, but I'm just going to surrender. And that
yeah.
was
it. Yeah. And you got through it.
Yeah. And I think it was not only helpful.
Yeah, we maybe forget or don't think about how much our just sticking with something is helping other people. Actually, each of us today is helping everybody in the room by just sticking it out. You know, whether it's boring, whether we would rather be doing something else, you know, whether it's painful, We don't know how much our sitting through that is helping someone else who's also having that experience. You know, that's something that I try to remind myself a lot, especially when I feel like I'm just messing this up. But we're still here. So Wade, I think you were gonna say something.
Mr. Rogers has a great quote.
A great bodhisattva, by the way.
his quote is about love, that it's not something that like just happens. It's not like a state of being, but it's a verb, mm-hmm. something that you have to actively do, actively put effort into and maintain. And it strikes me that patience is the same way. You're not patient. Patience isn't like a state of your being. Patience is something that you have to perform moment to moment to moment. And it's patience is fighting the impatience that you feel. It's like a state of perfect calm. It's fighting the impatience. Much like that quote about courage or bravery, that it's not the lack of feeling scared, but it's the decision to do it anyway. Mm-hmm, patience mm-hmm. is not the lack of feeling impatient. It's the ability to be patient despite your impatience.
Yeah. That's a really good reminder. Patience, practicing patience maybe helps us get better at practicing patience. You know, I love to say that we think about, you know, we hear that phrase, you know, 90% of success is just showing up. But I really always emphasize that 100% of success in Zazen is just showing up. That if we can just show up for Zazen, whatever it is that's happening is going to help us to show up again. Whether we like it, whether we don't, whether we run screaming out of the room and, you know, come back some other time. But, you know, it happens. Nothing has to happen, because it's all, as long as we make ourselves available for it, for patience or for love, those qualities exist and they help us to find them if we just show up and make ourselves available for them. We probably have time for one more observation. Any field notes on your experience today? Paula?
Well, I often say to younger people, if they ask, you know, if you've learned anything in life, the one thing I've learned for sure with positivity is that everything takes longer than you think it will. And the way I really like how you brought up that practice is an approach. It's something you do, because you could be patient in one situation and then almost get surprised at how impatient you could be in another. So, and that's what I find with patience. It's something I've been working on since I was a small child. That it always surprises me when the impatient rears its ugly head. The impatience.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that you brought it up too. It seems lately too, yeah. For me, it's an issue again.
Yeah. Do you have any suggestions on what you do when impatience rears its ugly head?
Take a breath.
Yeah.
Take a breath. And I do think the Zazen helps us have faith in taking that breath and taking that pause.
Yeah.
And knowing that we actually can do that before we respond. Like, I feel the Zazen helps us get very good at doing that, no matter what arises inside of us.
Yeah. It becomes automatic when you... Because we sit through so many opportunities of that, even in one Zazen period, that we are slowly training ourselves to react differently. Or respond differently, maybe not react.
Or if you're going to respond with impatience, you've made that decision to do that.
Thank you. Dylan.
One thing that Florence Kaplow brought up was to feel your feet on the floor. And that's really been wonderful for me because I find myself often, if I am feeling impatient or stressed, that I'll have my posture will be like I'll have one foot in the direction of the thing that I'm stressed about doing, and I'll have another foot in another direction. And if I can recognize that, then I'm like, oh no, I have to put both feet in front of this thing that I'm doing. And then that's like a nice reminder for me. So that's one thing that I work with.
Oh, that's a good visual or even a kinesthetic sort of metaphor for kind of orienting yourself.
Yeah.
Helps you get into that dynamic balance. Well, thank you all for really thoughtful comments, and just thank you for being here, and muddling through together.